get your head in the game.
That's right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Popcorn and Lore. I'm JC. I'm joined by...
Steph with an F.
Steph, how are you today?
Doing all right. Enjoying these podcasts and really, actually forgot how much I do love this movie.
Absolutely. We're talking about High School Musical today, a movie that shaped my childhood and many others across this planet. I love this film. I love the series. But this film in particular, the first one, is just, it's unbeatable in terms of what it means to me and how it impacted my childhood. One of the first Disney Channel original movies I remember seeing. Yeah, and we had a debate before starting the podcast. Not really a debate, but a conversation about whether or not this was the first DCOM. And I'll be saying DCOM a lot. It's a Disney Channel original movie. And I stood corrected, or if you see my wheelchair, I sit correct. But either way, this is a great film. I'll go ahead and get us into some of the details of it. It was directed by Kenny Ortega, and if you're familiar with Kenny Ortega, he's done great work in terms of choreography throughout the entertainment industry. This film is a musical, so for those of you who haven't seen it and don't like musicals, you will not like this, but I still encourage you to watch it. So the film itself stars some really big names, at least big names now. At the time when they got into this film, a lot of them, this is what they were known for. So we've got Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, Ashley Tisdale, Lucas Grabeel, and many others. Just a great film. We've got Corbin Bleu, Monique Coleman, and Allison Reed. One of the things about this film that's really spectacular to look back on, in my opinion, is just how well it was done for the time it was in. So we open up on a New Year's Eve party, and we have Troy Bolton, who is the hotshot basketball player at East High. We're at this New Year's party, and one of the things that I remember being really relatable, it's funny because I was a kid when this film came out. Some would say I'm still a kid, and I'm in my late 20s, but either way, we have Troy Bolton practicing basketball with his dad, Coach Bolton, who is the coach of the high school basketball team. And his mom comes in and says, "Hey, there's a kids party. Go shower up." And I remember Troy going, "Kids party?" So at that age, you don't see yourself as a kid. But even at the age I was watching that, I didn't really see myself as a kid either. If somebody had told me there's a kids party coming, I would have been like, "Kids party." So he goes to this party. He's not really excited about it. And he gets kind of dragged into this karaoke experience at this New Year's Eve party. Well, from here he meets Gabriela Montez. Did I say that right? I think it's Montez. Let me look, because that's going to be really awkward. Okay, yes. So Troy goes to this New Year's Eve party that he's not really stoked about in the first place. He gets dragged into the spotlight to join this karaoke experience. And he meets Gabriela Montez, who is his partner for the duet in this song, Breakin' Free. Not Breakin' Free, Start of Something New.
Yes, Start of Something New. And Gabriela is a academically gifted girl.
Yes.
And so they're from two different worlds, sort of,
yes,
where he's the popular jock, who he is very nice, though. I'm not saying, like, the popular jock, right, in the other movies where, you
he's
know, they're
the
always
stereotypical jerk.
Yeah. And she is a sweet, you know, kind of not quite socially awkward, because really she does pretty good in a lot of social,
yes,
situations in later in the movie. But really is, you can tell, like, academically gifted.
Yes. And I think there are two kids that don't like the spotlight. They can be in the spotlight, but I think they prefer to kind of keep to themselves and stick to what they do best.
Yes, and this movie was released in 2006, and so you were a kid, like you were saying back,
yes,
then. I was actually in high school.
Wow.
So when this movie came out, I'm going to be very honest, I would not admit that I liked this movie, because I wanted to be not one of the cool kids, because,
right,
honestly, I knew I would never be one of the cool, cool kids. But I didn't want to be like, oh, yeah, no, let everyone know I actually loved watching Disney. Now, of course,
right,
my sister knew differently.
Absolutely.
And you found out differently after we were talking about this movie one time when we were at our desk and I started randomly singing some of the songs or just talking about a lot of the right. in-depth of it. But what I love about this movie is after the New Year's party, you know, they meet, they talk afterwards. It's not just like, oh, they met and then they went off their own little directions before they actually got to talk.
Right.
And I forgot about this part of the movie, too, is they actually pulled out their old cell phones and took pictures. And they legitimately showed a picture. Because normally when they show pictures on the cell phones, it's this awesome, beautiful looking picture. No, they showed what the pictures actually look like. Now, granted, it did have a little bit too much light in it. Because yes. in that darkness out there, even though there was light from the, you know, probably light posts and stuff like that, still would not have taken that good of a picture yes. of Gabriella.
One reason that I say the film actually holds up decently well for the time, because from here we're introduced to the rest of the East High gang, and so later on we find Troy Bolton headed on into East High. We meet his best friend Chad Danforth, who is played by Corbin Bleu. This is Troy's best friend, and he's also a member of the basketball team. They get into a classroom, and we're also introduced to Sharpay Evans and my favorite character, which is Ryan Evans. He gave me my love great. For hats and different things like that. They've got a great sense of fashion. They are the drama people in the school. We've got Zeke, who's also a member of the basketball team as well. And my all-time favorite teacher in a movie overall is Mrs. Darbus.
Oh, Mrs. Darbus. I love the interaction between her and Coach.
Yes.
Though Coach, his character as much, I don't think they allowed him to be able to fill out that character a little bit more in depth. Except for in one section of the movie, but Mrs. Darbus, just automatically. Also, right off the bat, all teachers do not like cell phones being used in the classroom. Yes. And that was even back when cell phones just started becoming popular. They would literally either put them in buckets or anything like that if you were playing with them, and you would get detention.
I love when I've gone back and I've seen the film, and we'll get into a little bit of the plot here. But I love when I've gone back and I've seen the film now and I look at it and I'm like, that's a flip phone. And by the way, I had a flip phone at one point, but you go back and you look at it, you're like, you hardly see that now, like at all. And the funny thing about it, Mrs. Darbus goes around the classroom and has the students put their phones in a bucket. So from here, Troy heads out of the classroom. We see that Gabriella is actually going to the same school and he's pretty excited about that. But what we also see is that Sharpay has a thing for Troy, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. And it gets even worse in the second movie.
Yes.
And that's the one thing about in between the movies. You think Sharpay has grown as a character and learned something. And she has for that movie. Yes. And then for the next movie, she's back to her scheming ways.
Yes. So we see that Sharpay is very territorial, not only of Troy, but toward her position as the lead drama person in the school. In fact, she is even more popular in some sense than her brother, or so she thinks.
Well, and also on that, I think I am quoting one of the characters from the movie, and I do believe it was the friend, the Gabriella's friend, or becomes her friend, from the, what it is. Trying to remember her name. Taylor.
Yes, Taylor.
She is quoted that if Sharpay could learn how to play or could play both Romeo and Juliet and Romeo in the same play at the same time. And granted, I'm quoting this out of, you know,
paraphrasing,
that she would be able, she would do both. And kick her brother out.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, well, not funny, it's just interesting. You see this unrealistic tension. I say it's unrealistic because I go back and I watch the film now, and I didn't think about this at the time when I was a kid. But the tension arises really in the song Stick to the Status Quo, or Status Quo. And it's this idea that you now have the basketball player Troy bleeding over into the drama area and taking over their territory, or trying to. He's singing, he's doing this, he's doing that. His friends find out, they're like, Troy, dude, what are you doing? And then you have Gabriella, who's this very academically inclined young lady, as you pointed out, Steph. And she's getting into drama, into the drama sphere of things. But you have this unrealistic tension of, we're in the cafeteria and we're all going to be outraged that our friend who plays basketball is going into the drama club and yada, yada, yada. I was in drama in a time where you had jocks doing plays. You had, actors doing sports. There wasn't this this bizarre division. However, I will say one thing. I was highly disappointed when I got to high school. Because, like, as you said, you were already in high school. I was very disappointed when I got to high school and there was no spontaneous song. It wasn't as fun.
There wasn't lunchroom dancing or singing or anything.
The cafeteria was amazing. The cafeteria I had was just not. So it depends on how, you expect things to be, I guess. Maybe I had unrealistic expectations.
Well, and like you said, I was already in high school, and in my high school, we did have some cliques, of course. I mean,
yes.
And it wasn't like you couldn't go hang out with the other ones. Like, I hung out with some jocks. Mm-hmm. I hung out with, just various different people. But it wasn't like, because you were in one group, you couldn't be in the other. Yeah. But I also, in our school, we didn't have drama up until our senior year when we created a drama club.
Okay.
And so that was a little bit different. But, you still kind of had some of those cliques a little bit, or at least you had your close friends.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because I don't want to give the impression that cliques don't exist. I'm just saying the division of, oh my gosh, the guy's doing this. I just, for some reason, I look at that now and I'm like, that seems a little unrealistic. And of course, it's a movie.
That was also a product of its times back in the day. It was always like, the 80s movies and all of that. Also, 90s, 80s, and 70s movies, always had to have the jock, get out of its comfort zone to do something different, either be smart or go into theater, do something like different like that. And again, the same thing with smart. And it doesn't matter if it's girls or guys, both of them, they kind of had that stereotypical, get out of that comfort zone.
And we see Troy, his head is not really in the game, and that's part of the get your head in the game.
That song.
Great song, by the way.
But also, what I did like about this movie, and I hated when his friends and her friends decided to, put them back in their proper places and, break them up and do that. But what I did love about it is the fact that it didn't just, yes, it kind of did because they had the wrap of the movie. Just, everything was perfectly fine afterwards, but it was more of, they had to go and apologize and face the consequences of what they did. Now, granted, it didn't go as in deep or anything. I still had the Disney cover over it.
Yes.
But I did love how, he actually had to go talk to her, Troy did, to get her to sing with him.
Because Troy, I don't think intentionally, he really hurt Gabriella. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, this is going to be a spoiler. But Stephanie, one of the things that I look back on now that drives me nuts is there's this big plan between Chad and Taylor. And in the middle of Troy just airing out his feelings and saying he doesn't care about singing, doesn't care about the talent show, he said he doesn't even care about Gabriella. She's just some girl. And they pull up this laptop with a webcam on it. The webcam is right there in Troy's face.
Oh, yeah. No.
For whatever reason, Troy doesn't stop and go, guys, what are you doing? He just keeps talking and digging himself a deeper hole. And, of course, Gabriella's hurt. But that's one part of the film. And I think it's probably, as you said, a product of its time. But that's one inconsistency that I look at and I'm like, they could have done that so much better. And that's one very small criticism I have of a movie I love very much.
Well, also, I am, for that movie, just so you know, webcams back then were not that good. How far he was from that webcam, no, you wouldn't have got that clear of a picture. But, it was the friends putting him in that kind of position. They got him riled up before they turned on the camera and showed it. But also, he shouldn't have said those things.
Yes.
And he knew, like, if he had known it was being recorded, first off, he wouldn't have said that. But even afterwards, he didn't realize. And I'm like, how could you not see that big camera? But I also get, though, when you're when you get riled up into a situation, you're not paying attention to your surroundings.
Right, right.
What was more awkward, though, was that he did kind of look at his friends a bunch, too, and it was right there.
Yes. And as you said, one thing that really comes out in this movie, and it's not as deep and involved because it is a, I think being a Disney movie of that time, there's only so much they could do. But there is this idea of addressing being manipulative as a friend and being unaccepting and uninviting to others. You have Ryan and Sharpay, who the whole time throughout the movie, they're plotting and manipulating, try to make sure that Troy and Gabriella are not involved in that talent show. You have a division between the coach and Mrs. Darbus. And by the end of the film, I think they're more on friendly terms than they were to start.
Yeah, and there's still a little bit of the banter and everything. But one thing with Ryan's character, and I didn't like him as much in this movie because he kept flip-flopping. He would be either smart or dumb, or he would be either kind and caring or manipulative and just like his sister, which I understand, like, depending on who you're around, kind of, you know, especially then you're growing, you're learning and everything. But I think in the second movie is where you really get to see Ryan shine.
Yes. And the other part of that is you really see Sharpay mistreating her brother and taking him for granted in some ways.
Yeah.
And well, we won't get into the second movie too deeply, but I think it says a lot in terms of character growth. You mentioned earlier that you see Sharpay, she learns a lesson for a movie and then it resets in the next movie. With Ryan, you really see this growth of, you know, I can be friends with these people and be a nice person, and I don't have to be in my sister's shadow the whole time.
Yeah, and what I do also love in this movie, though, is, at least in this first one, you know, he sticks by her side.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially until he starts to grow and realize that that's not right.
Yes.
But it's also, he does try to be a little bit of a moral compass at times.
Yes.
And see, like, what is the big deal? But also, like, he wants to be in the spotlight, too,
yes,
if his sister lets him.
And I don't want to paint Sharpay as a totally evil character. She's not. I think she has a flaw. And, you know, it's fine to want to be in the spotlight, but she takes that to the extreme.
Yeah.
And it becomes who she is, in a sense. You see some change where she could see that she was wrong later on in the movie. But as you said, there's a renewed feud between her and Gabriella in the second movie.
Yeah, but the second movie deals more with the Troy situation.
Yes.
The first movie is more about, you know, she doesn't want the spotlight taken away. But at the end of the movie, like, she, you know, says break a leg to Gabriella.
Yes.
But then lets Gabriella know, because Gabriella didn't know, that is a theater term for good luck.
Right.
And she seems very genuine,
yes,
about it. And I do love how they take some of the smaller characters and they try to give them a little bit more to do, a little bit more. They're not just that generic character in the background. Like Zeke, you know, he loves cooking.
Yes.
And, you know, after baking. And then they, you know, show him, you know, bringing cookies, bringing other stuff to people and just being caring. And then also, so with the character Kelsey.
Yes.
She is the pianist, also the one who created a lot of the songs for the play. And, you know, Sharpay, like, puts her down all the time. Yes. And they never pick her music to play in the play, or they change it enough to where it's not really hers.
Yes.
But, you know, Troy, he, you know, he equates her to being the playmaker.
Yes.
Which in, you know, sports, it's a sports term, but it's the one who sets up the play. And so, you know, like, she's very important. And I think that's really good because he's not only showing his kinder side, which, because, you know, most stereotypical jocks in movies are, yes, are jerks most of the time. But, you know, it shows that. It also deepens, I think, Gabriella's, like they show their love growing through those interactions, not just the interactions between them, those two characters.
Right.
But, like, how they treat each other and the people around them.
Yes.
And I think that, especially for his character, it kind of shows her that, you know, he's not just the stereotypical one.
Right.
But also, you know, it heightens Kelsey's, you know, gives her the strength,
yes,
to become strong. So by the end of the movie, you know, she's standing up to Sharpay.
Yes. And it really speaks to this concept of there's no I in team, right? I mean, you have Kelsey, who's this wonderful composer. She does this great music. She's talented. She may not be in the spotlight, but she's just as important as the person that's in the spotlight. You have, this is a spoiler into the second movie, but you have Ryan, who is a very talented choreographer. He may not be as in the spotlight as his sister, but he's still integral to the part that he plays in the whole production. He's integral to the production overall. And I think that's one thing that's really important, whether you're in drama or you're in sports, whatever it is that you do, you must remember, it's like even here doing this podcast to make it real world, we're not doing this podcast on our own. We're in a studio here at 98.1 Brands and For You. We have to have a team of people to make things work.
Yes. And I love how, like, Coach kind of brings that, you know, depending on the team, you know, your team depends on you.
Yes.
But, you know, you also depend on your team kind of aspect to there. But I love his and Miss Darbus's interactions, because they're just always just funny for the most part. And also, you know, like the point where Miss Darbus goes into his office. And, you know, she's like, you know, making sure that Troy isn't trying to, you know, sign up for this because, you know, he wants to play a prank or do something like that, because that's what Sharpay and others have told her.
Right.
Mainly Sharpay. But Coach is like, he can't even sing. And it's like, he doesn't truly know his son.
Right.
But, and again, I think his character needs a little bit more depth. But I do believe in one scene that they were doing where he was watching his son after Gabrielle and him broke up and they weren't practicing anymore for the play. You know, you can kind of see how not being able to sing and do that kind of stuff that he wanted to learn and do and have that support.
Right.
You know, his dad saw that he was struggling. Now, one thing that frustrates me is I wish they had brought back the mom at that point and like kind of had that realization. And I get they only have a certain amount of time and they really wanted to focus on the kids part of it.
Right.
But like if they had that interaction with the mom and dad to like for her to be like, you know, tell him like he needs help,
right?
Or you know, you're being too hard on him or something, like just a little bit, because it's like you see the mom at the first beginning of the movie, then you never see her again.
She's a very underused character. One of the things I appreciate about Mrs. Darbus is that despite thinking that maybe Troy was messing with her and kind of, you know, just making fun of drama overall and he didn't really care, I do think she recognizes Troy's talent. And that's one of the things I love about this film in particular. Some of the most impactful teachers in my life have been my drama teachers, choir teachers, that kind of thing. I didn't have a Mrs. Darbus, but I had, you know, different teachers. I had just teachers that were, they were great. They inspired you to do good. And that's one thing. I think it's a smaller theme in this franchise, but I do think it's there that teachers are important and really good teachers will drive you to be the best you can be.
Also, you know, she sees that not only does he have the talent to sing, you know, it's one thing to have the talent to sing, but that he's genuine about wanting to do this. And which I love also, though, that she does try to hearken to teach the children responsibility, time management, everything like that of being like, you know, but also supporting both the growth of Sharpay and Ryan, but also the growth of Troy and Gabrielle and others. Underneath her, and whether they like theater or not.
I do think, and I want to be careful here because I've got friends, of course, that played sports, and I don't want to undermine that. But I do want to say, I think this is important. One thing that comes out in the movie, and it's realistic, is there's a tension between the two teachers. We've got Coach Bolton and Mrs. Darbus, and there's this tension of my thing is better than your thing, or my field of influence is better than yours. Sports are more important. Drama is more important. I know when I was in school, one thing that was always really frustrating to me, and a lot of us felt this way, is that the fine arts took a backseat to sports. So football was more important than drama or choir. And there was almost this unspoken tension between teachers, it felt like at times.
Yeah, and I can see that, but also I can see that, you know, sports in certain aspects for some schools brought in more money, that's brought right. in some stuff. So they could afford to do that kind of stuff.
Because
if it didn't, And granted, I'm not trying to bash or anything like that. Like, we didn't have a drama until after I graduated. We created a drama club our senior year.
Right.
And I do believe it was in the works, because you can't just, you know, it takes time to build a class and stuff like that, a structure for all that. But, you know, like, I felt like our senior class really kind of pushed it to be like, hey, there's an interest here.
Yes.
And if, you know, to try, and luckily enough, the school, and I think they were already looking into it anyway, but they were able to pull that together. Again, though, you know, like, I was in sports. I was in track and field. And I wasn't that great or anything, but, you know, I could also see where, especially with the guys, there was that tension sometimes of you couldn't do certain things or you'd be made fun of for certain things. And it changed between the groups and all that kind of stuff and people. And there was some different stuff for girls too, you know, but it was, I mean, we had just as many guys apply to either be in the show, and more of backstage also, but we had just as many guys come out and try out for the one play that we did for the drama club.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all worked very hard. We had no budget, right. But it was, you know, we came together, that camaraderie.
Right.
And that's what kind of that movie kind of showed, is in the end, though, they may all have their differences on it. And, you know, like, Chad probably is never going to want to be in the theater show, you know, doing that or whatever. But he supported Troy doing that.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, because after saying, you know, what I said, I also want to acknowledge it's not that there has to be, or that there always is, this division. It can be, like you said, where people come together. And I think that's one thing that these films, not just the first one, but the films overall, one through, I'm going to go with two, because I haven't seen three recently, but I'm sure three has elements of this. But it's one thing that they show really well, is it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be both and.
Yeah, and three does it a little bit too, but it's more of the, you know, the future kind of thing. You know, what does Troy want to do for the future? What does all the students want for the future?
Mm-hmm.
And do they want all the same kind of thing? You know, Gabriella, you know, she wants to go to a different school that's better for her, you know, and Chad, he wants to go to school with Troy and be on the basketball team and rock it out, you know, and there's just a lot of, you know, the future kind of thing. But also they were trying to set up some precedent, I think, for another movie.
Yes.
But with the new cast. But I think they chucked that because of the original cast was so popular.
Yes. And that's been the big question for people in my generation, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but will there be a High School Musical 4? Right now, we have the series on Disney Plus that, you know, is growing in popularity.
But which is really cool to talk about, because they took a different aspect of it.
Yes.
They could have just continued on and done another High School Musical, but as a TV series. But instead, they brought it into the real world. They went, you know, they were like, hey, we're a real high school.
Yes.
That the High School musical movies were filmed at.
That's right.
And then took it in a different direction. I think that was really cool for that, because I don't think you could have brought back the magic and or kept it going.
Yes.
For multiple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been just a rehash of kind of like a Glee kind of thing. And it wouldn't have been on standing on its own.
It took some while to get used. It took a while to get used to, but I really enjoy the show. I think we're waiting on season 4 right now. I believe it's got 3 seasons. It's an interesting show. It's different. We do have some cameos from Lucas Grabeel, who plays Ryan, and Corbin Blue playing Chad Danforth. We have some cameos from them. It's different. So don't expect to go in and get washed with all sorts of nostalgia over the first 3 films. It kind of has to stand on its own. In fact, I think you could watch this not knowing anything about the 3 films and still enjoy it.
Yeah, I watched the first, and I do believe most of the second season. But the first season, I like how they build it up, and you know, how they threw a couple things out the window. You know, because there's a jock in there who's a theater kid too.
Yes.
You know, and I think it was really fun, and, you know, I think it brought it into, or did, like I said before, which was they couldn't have continued on making that TV series into a movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have done as well. People would have just judged it because they would have judged, you know, any character that was playing a Troy version of that character or anything like that, or the main guy character, they would have judged them all. Yes. Because the original cast was so good. And not saying, like, the cast of the TV series isn't good. They're good.
Yes.
I think it's good that they switched it up.
Absolutely. And I would also add to that, if you are interested in looking at this, there's plenty of talk and theories online about what would a High School Musical 4 with the original cast look like. However, unfortunately, I doubt it's going to happen.
Well, also, all those actors and actresses have moved on.
Yes.
They've created a lot of stuff outside of Disney. Yes. And, you know, I think a couple of them have spoke out, not against Disney, but more of like against the time and how, you know, they had to, you know, it was a stressful time for them as young actors.
Yes. And really, that cast, there were more, but I remember at that time, if you grew up on Disney Channel, they really helped carry Disney Channel in some ways. You had Vanessa Hudgens, who was making appearances in Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. You had Ashley Tisdale, who was playing Maddie in Sweet Life of Zack and Cody on almost any episode in the series. You had...
Corbin was in multiple Disney Channel Disney Channel movies.
Yes.
Also, a lot of the other ones who were in there, too. One thing I do love is looking back at these movies,
mm-hmm.
you can see the beginning of the actual 2000s.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you saw pre-Justin Bieber hair, the style right there. Yes. With that, where it was just starting to become that, because Justin Bieber wasn't popular, wasn't singing back
right.
then.
And at
yet.
That time, I would say, maybe I'm overstating it, but Zac Efron was the Justin Bieber of that time. In the sense that he was popular, he was kind of the heartthrob of the time, I think, for people in that sphere watching Disney Channel. And then, of course, like I said, you have people right now, and you pointed this out, who are doing different things. I believe Ashley Tisdale is running a skincare and makeup company right now, I think. I think she's got her own line. I think
yeah.
Vanessa might still be doing movies. I haven't really kept up with her. Zac Efron has really blossomed as far as his career goes. I can't think of what he's done recently, but for instance, one of the more popular movies he was in recently, or a few years ago now, The Greatest Showman, and we can talk about that at length in another episode, but I'm really proud of these folks. They've done great work in their own right. Lucas Grabeel is actually from Springfield, I believe, and so he actually came back through here not too long ago. I didn't get to see his show, but as you said, they've all done great work on their own.
Yeah, and or just done just, even if they've gotten out of the TV business, just
yes.
gone on to do great things. I think this movie was one that transcended its time,
yes.
but also was one of the Disney Channel movies that broke the mold
yep.
for Disney Channel movies, because by the third one, they were in theaters,
yes.
and that has never happened with a Disney Channel original movie.
Not only that, but the cast themselves actually went on tour and performed on stage, and I believe there was a High School Musical on ice.
I do believe too. I don't think,
don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I don't think the main characters were in that, like the main actors and actresses were in the ice one, but yeah, no, it became a phenomenon. There was multiple different live stuff, and I mean, it lasted a very, very long time.
Yes. Yes, it's like the idea of Beatles mania. This was High School Musical mania. I mean, you had the movies and the stage stuff. Now, some people might say, don't compare this to the Beatles.
No, but I mean, for our generation,
yes.
especially movie-wise, like this hit, I remember when it became very, very, very popular.
Yes.
And I mean, people were singing it. I mean, people had Zac Efron in their lockers, like a picture of him in their lockers, and it was just, it became a phenomenon.
Yes.
And it just kept growing, and no one realized how big it was going to get. And of course, one day the bubble was going to have to break. And also, that was during that time period, though, that, I mean, Pitch Perfect was coming out, a cappella stuff, Glee was in its heyday at that time, or either in the heyday or becoming, or going into its heyday. You know, those big eras, it was time for those musicals, that music type singing and breaking the mold mm-hmm. for stereotypical characters, or trying to.
Yes. And I'd also like to point out, you mentioned even people who aren't in the entertainment industry anymore. I don't really know exactly what she's doing. And man, I should have looked up her name as we speak. But the woman who plays Kelsey, I believe she is a mother now, and I don't know quite what she's doing, so I don't want to speak out of turn. But she is a mother now, and she seems to be thriving. That's one really cool thing. I will say, being on social media, this cast, for the most part, I don't see a lot from Zach, but this cast seems to really love High School Musical, and it's talked about. You see things from Lucas Grabeel and other supporting cast as well. But just a phenomenal series, and for those who think I'm overstating it, I just ask, I plead with you. Of course, if you don't want to, that's your choice. But this is a great movie. This first one alone is fantastic. I highly recommend it. I'm sure Stephanie does as well. But I could go on for episodes and episodes about this one movie.
Yeah, well, and to be able to watch these movies, if you want, Disney Plus has them. Of course, it's owned by Disney. So they're on there. You can watch all of them. You can watch the TV series. Folks, we want to ask you, you know, what movies, especially original, the Disney Channel original movies, what do you want to watch? Yes. What do you want us to talk about? Because I know we can go deep diving. I know you haven't seen as many of the older ones, especially since right. you saw this was the original.
That's right.
Disney How Channel movie. But you know, there's a lot of those older ones I think we can get into and talk about, and
yes.
you know, there's even some where they did remakes yes. of some of those original movies.
And if you've seen this movie, I want to ask you, what's your favorite song from the movie?
Yeah, what character did you kind of relate to a little bit yeah. in high school?
Yeah,
you know, folks, you can catch us on, you know, let us know, all that information on our Facebook page. You can go to Popcorn, the word and then Lore, and find us there on our Facebook page, on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We're on all of those. Give us a like. To listen to the audio version of the podcast, you can go to the Branson Podcast Network, Spotify, or anywhere else you get podcasts. To watch the video version that will come out sometime after the episode drops, you can go to YouTube. And of course, keep up with us on anything that's happening in Popcorn and Lore on our Facebook page. If you want some great entertainment news, catching up on anything new, any new movies, TV series, anything like that coming out, you can always check out Nerd Informants.
Yes.
They're the place for all the nerd news.
Yes, and we want to give special thanks to 98.1 Branson for you for allowing the use of the studio.
Yes, and that station team leader, she's pretty cool. And the GM of the... By the way, we work here. Yes. I am the station team leader. Thank you to Steve Willoughby, our general manager, for allowing us to use the studio. Thank you guys so much for listening, and...
Keep on imagining.